Good morning, Doctor. How are you doing?
Good. Very good. I'm sprightly. Surprised, even, one might say.
Okay. Well, Minister Fifield said yesterday in a press conference that the current media laws are redundant. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't. I understand where he's coming from. And this is the argument that the new media environment, particularly things like the internet, have led to a proliferation of new media sources. And, you know, if we think of your generation as opposed to my generation, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're on your electronic buzz feeds and things like that, whereas I'm still reading the newspaper and watching television.
Mm.
And what somewhat Fifield would say is, if you look at the last, say, decade, we've seen, you know, the Saturday paper, we've seen, you know, BuzzFeed, we've seen the introduction of The Guardian, these online-only newspapers. There's now a whole bunch of streaming, you know, TV-like services. There's internet radio and podcasting. And so the concern that a small number of owners will dominate the media landscape, you know, the old media landscape, and that will be kind of an assault on democracy, is no longer there. And so the regulations that used to enforce greater competition by preventing cross-media ownership and the concentration of ownership and things like that can now be abolished. I think it is too early to tell, mainly because a lot of those new startups are very nascent. Their budgets and their reach are relatively small. Most people still get their news from major, you know, electronic broadcast media using, you know, pre-internet style kind of technologies. And certainly if you look at the money associated with media production, it is still in the old media space. Now, that is changing, don't get me wrong. And we're seeing, you know, unique content being produced for the new online newspapers and things like that. But it pales in comparison to the offline world. And the major area of concern, I think, is obviously in news production. There is a problem, though, and Mitch Fifield is right. I mean, something does need to be done, because even though you know, the old media barons have done a relatively robust job at defending their kind of market shares, it has come at the huge cost of massive degrading in their capacity to produce local content. And that's not just news content, that's content in general. And so if we look at the ABC, for example, it used to regularly produce a lot of expensive content. It does less of that these days, and it's publicly financed. We look at free-to-air TV, you know, places that used to, you know, produce their own, you know, authentic Australian dramas, high cost, very expensive to produce, you know, comedy shows and things like that. They don't produce those. They produce low-cost reality TV now. But the hammer has really fallen, and most importantly, for a kind of political focus, on news production, and particularly news production long-form investigative journalism and regional news.
Yeah, that's a big kind of concern. And the National Party has had a lot of input into these laws. So obviously regional media services are crucial to their local communities. How are these likely to be affected with these laws, do you think?
Well, what we're likely to see is a further consolidation in two ways. So first, the separation between the urban and the rural TV services. Say if you take Nine and the Win kind of things, they're going to consolidate into single entities. And when they do that, there'll be a shift to rationalise some of the costs there. Now, some of that might be back-end services like, you know, you've got two accountants, you know, two chief accountants for those two networks. Let's have one chief accountant.
Mm-hmm.
But the tendency for networking has been to rationalise their newsrooms. And the concern of the National Party, particularly because of where they're physically located, but, you know, also Country Labor, Country Liberals and Greens, who are starting to get some traction in the rural areas as well.
Yep.
But predominantly for the National Party is the consolidation of those networks will be, there'll be one news service and it will be located in Sydney. And I know that there is a red-hot temper out there in rural and regional Australia. I mean, I occasionally will get sort of, you know, strongly worded emails sent to me when I go on ABC, for example, and do a show and talk about Sydney or something like that. You're so Sydney-centric, et cetera, et cetera. And there is a sensitivity. And because, you know, legitimately, there has been a decline in their regional news production, not just in the commercial sector, but also in the public broadcasting sector. The big, you know, represented sector that's still as robust as it ever was the community sector.
Mm.
And that's because, for some reason, a lot of community sector people don't earn any money. So it doesn't cost anything to produce them. But we do remember a couple of years ago when there was a talk about, you know, significantly reducing the size of the community sector.
Yeah.
And the Nationals also opposed that. So they are concerned about that sort of amalgamation. And the other amalgamation we're going to see is the cross-media amalgamation,
yes.
where it used to be you could, you know, have two out of three. You could have maybe radio and TV in a market, or newspaper and radio in a market, but not all three, TV, radio, and newspaper in a market, and that's going to go. And there's less prospect for amalgamating those news production services because it is different to write an article as it is to make a TV news bulletin. But, you know, there is a tendency for some of those things to coalesce. But also, if you are concerned that media proprietors exhibit a very strong editorial control mm-hmm. over their content, and that's, you know, that's a debate we can have, right? Then the bigger their reach, the bigger their editorial control.
Yeah, so what do you think is going to be a sort of a fallout from that? Well, I mean, Australia already has quite a concentrated amount of media ownership. Was that going to get worse or going to extend if these laws are passed, do you think?
Yep, so Australia has the most concentrated media in the world already. So in terms of liberal democracy, we're not doing very well at all. It will become more concentrated at the big end. The question is whether the big end will still tolerate this proliferation of little voices that is an alternative kind of media. And, you know, and they're important. So let's take recently a major story, the Paul Sheehan story, right? So Paul Sheehan writes a piece of rubbish journalism where he takes, you know, extremely dubious racially motivated claims and puts them in a double page spread in, you know, a major broadsheet newspaper in Australia, the biggest, you know, sort of thing. Who really is doing the running on keeping an eye on that work? It was New Matilda, this tiny little news organ that has virtually zero budget and is always begging for money. In a completely kind of consolidated world where there are basically News Corp and Fairfax, which is kind of the outcome at the major end, will we see a proliferation of these alternative voices as people say, oh, I can't stand the duopoly and I'm going to go, and so we'll see a proliferation around the margins? Or will the size and scale of these, you know, major advertising industries, because it's really a consolidation around advertising, mean that they can just put the kibosh on these little voices? We're yet to see. The biggest problem Australia has is that we speak English. Right. If we didn't speak English, if we spoke Australian, right, this weird Australian language, then we'd have to produce more content. There would be this kind of natural barrier to the degradation of Australian content production. But because we speak English, we can be a dumping ground for content. And we have these anti-siphoning rules in every other industry. So you can't buy tomatoes, you know, virtually, you know, at lower than it costs to produce it and dump it in the Australian market.
Mm.
But you can buy an infinite amount of American TV shows and do the same. So it is interesting. We have a very strange industry policy around media. But in terms of sort of the crude electoral impact, nobody's sad about this. The losers are these small players who don't have much reach. The losers are possibly the Australian public, though, you know, let's wait and see. The winners are, you know, the major media actors, and they're, you know, rubbing their hands with glee. They can do all these mergers and things like that. It allows them to get bigger, and that's, you know, what they want to do.
All right, so a good look at the potential effects if the laws get through Parliament today from Communications Minister Mitch Fifield. Dr. Peter Chen, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.